Take your Bibles, look in 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. Second Chronicles 17. When his dear blood on my soul fell. Amen. Amen. I was supposed to be in New York today. My son, he's all week been calling me and said, Dad, wish you were here. The church is going through stuff and I wanted to be there. And but then they was having a 25th year of anniversary party for a guy named Art Prevey. I said his name right that time. I always call him Peavy, but Prevey. And Art is the guy that we went up to their church when I first met him. Brother Ron was there. Ron knows who I'm talking about. And a bunch of y'all went up to, we went to snow camp up there. And boy, to me, that was bad, but we got to meet him. And it was his, they had a surprise party. They wanted me to come and preach their church today and all that, but I told him I couldn't go. And then Samson had that happen at their church. And I called Art yesterday, and he didn't know anything about the surprise party they were having for him after 25 years. So I called him up and his wife and him, and nobody answered. So then they called me back, and I said, hey, what y'all doing? And they said, well, we're heading down to the church. I said, what are you heading for the church for? They said, oh, we're having our sweetheart banquet early because, you know, Youth Ablaze and everything comes up. So we're just going to have our sweetheart banquet early. That's what the church had told and said that they were going to do and surprise him. And so I said, oh. I said, okay. I said, good. I said, y'all have a good time. So I called him later after he had got to the party and he had found that was a surprise party. He told me on the phone, he said, when you called, I said to my wife, something's up. Said, man, he must be really mad at me. Because I told him, call me back at right when you get to the church, call me back, I need to talk to you. So he started thinking in his mind all these things. He said, man, Samson must have called his dad and told him something bad about me, and he's gonna ream me out. And he said, that's all he could think of. And I'm glad that's what he thought. I'm glad because that prepared him when he went inside the big surprise that they had for him. And they you know, said surprise and 25-year anniversary and stuff like that. And they had a bunch of folks there that surprised him to be there. And that was a blessing. He called me up and said, man, you fooled me. He said, I thought, man, what was up? And I started running through my mind, what did I do wrong? What did I say? And it wasn't, I'm like any pope or anything. I was just calling him up, say hey to him. And so Israel and Samson called me last night. He said, boy, Dad, it was great, but we wish you were here. And I said, man, I wish I could be in a lot of places, but I can't. I'm going to tell you this. I'd rather be here than any other place. Amen. Why? Because this is the place where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. And I like going, but this is where I'm supposed to be, where God's called me to be. Take your Bible, look in 2 Chronicles, and look at verse chapter 17. And we're going to preach a little bit about a guy named Jehoshaphat. And, you know, you ever hear that statement, jumping Jehoshaphat? How many of y'all have ever heard that before? That's where it comes from, that guy right there. Jumping Jehoshaphat. And that came from him. A lot of phrases that you've heard in the past, they come from the Bible. Like Humpty Dumpty, that was Eli. And 1 Samuel, a guy named Eli. He was Bible says he was a very large man. He was sitting on the wall and he fell and broke his neck. And that's where they got Humpty Dumpty from. And there's a lot of things in the Bible that people made stories out of. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's men, all the kings, you know, all the so on. And but anyway, this guy named Jehoshaphat takes over for his father, his kingdom. And if you remember, Israel was split. After Rehoboam split, he made some bad choices, made a bad statement. And Israel split, so you had 12 tribes, the 10 northern tribes went and did their own thing, and they had their own king. They went in apostasy. They went in, they worshiped idols and all that. But Judah and Benjamin and the Levites stayed in the south, and they stayed faithful to God. And Jehoshaphat is from the tribe of Judah, and he's from that tribe there. And they stayed somewhat true to God. Why? But I mean, they end up going bad at times, and you read your Bible, you read through there, and this king did this, and this king did evil in the sight of the Lord, this king did right, and this king didn't, you know, so on. You read all that, and you think, and sometimes it'd be 40 years in there, 20 years, and sometimes 5 years. There was a guy in the northern tribes named Ahab, and Ahab was a bad king, and this guy had a wife named Jezebel. How many of y'all have ever remember reading about Jezebel? Jezebel, Jezebel, Jezebel. And it's talking about how wicked she was. She was a wicked woman. And Ahab was a wicked king of the northern tribes. But Jehoshaphat comes along. His father Asa does good and does right. And he has an example. But his father gets mad. He gets mad at the preacher, mad at the prophet for prophesying against him. And then he ends up getting disease in his feet and so on. And Jehoshaphat takes over. And look at verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. Now, you think it says he strengthened himself against Israel. Why? Because the 10 northern tribes wanted to wipe out the southern tribes. They wanted to wipe them out. It was a civil war going on, just like in America. America had a civil war. And they were trying to wipe each other out. And that's what happened in Israel, a civil war. And they were fighting each other. And it says he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim. And Asa, his father, had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Boy, Donald Trump got up the other day on Friday or Thursday, whenever it was, Friday. He said, God is with us. And that was a pretty bold statement for him to say. For him to say, God's going to take care of us, that's pretty bold. Now, as a Christian, I can say, God's going to take care of us as Christians, because the Bible says he will. But I don't know if Donald Trump is a Christian. No, I don't think he is, but I know Mike Pence claims to be. And for him to be able to get up and say, God is going to take care of us, that's pretty bold. I think the Lord kind of liked that. Amen. I think the Lord liked it when a guy steps out. What are you doing? You're stepping out on the limb and saying, okay, God, we're going to trust you. And you know that you're going to take care of us. That's pretty good. And the Bible says about Jehoshaphat, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. And the thing goes back to his great-great-grandfather. He says he started walking in the ways, the old path, like the Bible says. He started walking in David's walk. And he loved the Lord because the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. David loved God. And David even judged himself according to truth. He judged his own self, brought judgment on himself by judging. You know, the Bible says as Christians, we're supposed to judge our own selves. You're supposed to judge that so you won't be judged.
Yep.
If you judge sin in your life, you say, that's wrong. That's wrong, God. I don't need to do that. Forgive me. If you say something bad, cussing or drinking or whatever, God, it's wrong. I'm not going to do that no more. God, forgive me. And you're supposed to judge sin in your life. And the Bible says, forsake it. Amen. Forsake it. A lot of people say, well, I can judge sin, but I ain't going to forsake it. But look what the Bible says. It says, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in. Let me ask you this. How many of y'all want God with you?
Amen.
How many of you want God with your children?
Amen.
And your grandchildren?
Amen.
Then walk in his ways.
Amen.
Walk in his ways. If you want God to bless you, everybody wants to hit the lottery. Everybody wants God to bless them financially, but they don't want to do anything about it. But you got to walk in the Bible says a good man, or steps of a good man are ordered by God. And you're supposed to walk, you know, walk in the light as he is in the light. The Bible talks a lot about our walk. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night.
Amen.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I mean, everybody wants God to bless them, but they don't want to walk the way he wants them to walk. Look at the Bible says, Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, this is not the message, but Jehoshaphat, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of David, his father David, and sought not on the Balaam. Now, Balaam was if y'all know, Balaam was a false prophet, and he was a false prophet that was over Israel, and God judged Balaam and got into Israel. The nation of Israel ended up taking Balaam out. And Balaam, man, he caused a lot of pain in Israel. Why? Because he was a prophet of God, and he knew what was right, and he told him the king Balak, he told him how to get around the nation of Israel and destroy them. And he was God's man at one time. And he told him how to do it, and God judged him for it. And it says he walked not, nor sought not after on the Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his fathers, and walked in his first commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established his kingdom in his hand, brought Jehoshaphat presence, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up. Now look what it says. Look at verse 6. His heart wasn't lifted up in himself. His heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of the Judah. The high places, you said, what is that? That was a place where they went up. People go, they even do it now in Hawaii, different parts of the world. They go up, they got a high place where they worship idols. They go up there and pray to descendants, their descendants. They do that in India, China. They do that. It's called ancestry worship. And they worship and they talk. I hear people in America say, well, I talk, my mama died, my daddy died, and I still talk to them. That ain't going to do no good. I hate to tell you that. It ain't going to do you no good. I remember before I got saved, I went out to my brother's grave and laid there and said, I started talking to him. He didn't hear me. God heard me. The best thing you can do is talk to God, not to your ancestry.
Amen.
Because, matter of fact, they probably wouldn't want to hear you anyway. But the Lord wants to hear you.
Amen.
And the Bible says this, and in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethel, and it says Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites. And look down at verse 9. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law. We were talking about the law this morning. Had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. I mean, Jehoshaphat, he's going full speed ahead. And it says he's going ahead and he's teaching the people what's right, what's wrong. He's got the Levites. They were the ones that are supposed to do it. And he sent them out. And the Bible says the fear, God sent fear to all the nations. I like what Ronald Reagan said, you know, about arming to the teeth. And he sent fear to the nations. They wouldn't mess with him. Why? They were afraid. And the Bible says, look what the Bible says. And the fear of the Lord fell, verse 10, upon the kingdom of the land that were round about that, Judah, so that they made no war with Jehoshaphat. And also some of the Philistines besought Jehoshaphat, brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly. And he built in Judah castles and cities of store, and he had much business in the city of Judah. And the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers of Judah. Everybody got in on the blessing that this king set out to serve God. And then God blessed Jehoshaphat. And look what the Bible says, 18. And next to him, Jehoshaphat, with him 144,000 ready, prepared for war. And these waited on the king, besides whom those whom the king put in defense cities throughout all Judah. This guy had an army, a magnificent army. And this guy, they had men of war that weren't afraid. They went and they served the king. And this guy meant God blessed this man. And God took care of this man. Why? Because he sought God. And he was the king of Israel. And our king of Judah. And look at chapter 18. But Jehoshaphat ends up running and makes an affinity with a guy named Ahab. Now, he makes this affinity. He makes like a truce with Ahab. And he joins up with him. And this is his big mistake. You know why? Because the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Jehoshaphat worshipped idols. His wife was a Zidonian. She was a idol worshiper, and she was a Baalite worshiper. I mean, this woman, man, she had 850 prophets of Baal, and she worshipped all kinds of gods. She even committed murder, and Ahab went along with it. Ahab did, and Jehoshaphat was warned not to make any affiliation with him. And Jehoshaphat thought, well, your brother, we're brothers. He said, let's join up. And Ahab said, will you go to war with me? And he goes, sure, you're my brother, I'll go with you. That's why the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. You get, as a saved person, you're not supposed to go in business with a lost person. You're not supposed to marry a lost person. You're not supposed to do any of that. Why? Because it's going to take you down. And what it did to Jehoshaphat, it took him down. It started taking him down, and finally he came to a census. You know what? Christians are probably the dumbest people on the face of the earth. I mean, you're supposed to know your Bible. You're supposed to know what's right, but we're stupid. Why? Because we get hooked up with all kinds of crazy things. We start allowing things happening in our life, and we start acting like lost people. We start dressing like lost people. We start doing exactly what God's going to judge. And we allow it. We do it. And we're stupid. Why? The devil, I've said this a million times here, the devil knows he can't get your soul, but next best thing is get your life, your wife, your kids, everything he possibly can, if you let him. The Bible says he had armed soldiers guarding. As a man of the house, as a man, we as men are supposed to guard our family, our children, our grandchildren. Amen. Why? From evil. But if we allow evil in, it's going to devour them. It's going to destroy them. And that's where, before I was saved, that's where it was. Our family was evil. And Jehoshaphat makes this alliance with him and goes to battle. And then he has his prophets that come out. And, you read your Bible that this prophet prophesied against him. And they punched this preacher in the face. And Ahab said, didn't I tell you, he told Ahab, because Jehoshaphat got there, went to Israel, went up there with Ahab, and Ahab put on a big shindig. And he had people dancing. He had people drinking. And Jehoshaphat sat in a chair, had his men of war. He had men around him, his guard, bodyguards, like the Secret Service. They were around him. And Ahab sat over there trying to impress Jehoshaphat. And he brought all these prophets of Baal out, and they were cutting themselves, and they were saying, man, go up, you're going to prosper, you're going to win, you're going to do this. And Jehoshaphat's sitting there looking at, my Lord, this is a mess. He's sitting there looking at that thing, and he said, isn't there a prophet of God here? And Ahab said, what are you talking about, man? There's 850 of them here. My wife has them. And I would call her, I would say she was the modern day Hillary. That's what she was. And she, Jezebel, had all these prophets of Baal and everything else. And Ahab said, man, he said, there is one guy. There is one guy. He said, but I hate him. I hate that guy. Why? He said, because that guy never tells me anything good about me. You know why people like to go to churches, big churches like Joel Osteen and all that? Because all he does is tell you how great you are. That's all he does. He tells you how great you are and how God's going to bless you and everything, and everything's going to be blessing, and you're going to have millions of dollars, and you're going to hit the lottery, and everything's going to be just fine. And smiling at you while he's robbing you. So what do you mean robbing you? Robbing you of the truth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Come on, baby.
You got these guys. You know, and they have a thing on the internet right now about all these guys enriching themselves. I like what Trump said about, he said it's time for the he was talking about these people sitting on the platform. He said, time, they've been enriching themselves. It's time for you to have something here. Yeah. And if he does what he says, hallelujah. If he doesn't, all men are liars. But but Jehoshaphat says, don't you have a prophet of God here? And look what verse 23. Or back up to verse, let's look. And the king of Israel, 17, he said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? And go back to 15. And the king said to him, how many times have I adjured thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me? Why? Micaiah started mocking him. He mocked him. He made fun of him. But he knew Jehoshaphat was a man that feared God. And he mocked Ahab, and Ahab says, how many times I told you, tell me the truth? And he says, you want the truth? I'll tell you the truth. And he goes on, and he tells him, I don't have time. And look at verse 21, back up to 20. Then there came out a spirit. This is Micaiah saying this, the prophet of God. He's telling Ahab and all the people that these prophets that they are standing before him, he said, a spirit came out and went in these prophets. And he starts, this spirit goes into him, and God says, let that spirit go in. God allows, he allows this stuff to happen. And if you want truth, like I said this morning, if you want truth, God will give it to you. If you don't, you'll believe a lie. You'll be deceived. Amen. Brother Squiggy was preaching yesterday on being deceived. And look at this, verse 18. And again, he therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. This is Micaiah telling Ahab and Jehoshaphat. He says, and all the hosts of heaven standing on the right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go out, go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, another saying after that manner. And then there came out a spirit. Who do you think that spirit was? It was Satan, a satanic spirit. He says, there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. I'll do it. And I'll do it good. And that's why it's dangerous for a person to reject truth. You want truth, God will give it to you. It's dangerous for somebody to reject the truth. You got the truth sitting on your lap. Then he says, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? How are you going to do it? And he said, I will go out and be a lion spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him. Thou shalt also prevail. Go out. So he had to get permission. He had to get permission from God. That spirit walks in the room and he says, hey, I'll do it. And the Lord says, how are you going to do it? He says, I'll be a lion spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And the Lord said, okay. Go do it. God said, go be a lion spirit. You see a lot of preachers on TV. Not all of them. You see some of them. Liars.
Amen.
Enriching themselves. And the Bible says, verse 22, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lion spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets. This is Micaiah standing by himself. I'm going to say something. It takes guts. It takes real guts to be able to stand on your own. Yes, sir. The old preacher used to say, he said, you can tell a man's character what he does when he's by himself.
Yeah.
It takes a real man to stand for what's right when you're by yourself and you ain't got no backup. But your backup is God.
Yeah.
And Micaiah comes out there in front of all these crowd, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And he was warned. He said, man, give a good thing and they'll take care of you. Give a good prophecy and they'll take care of you. Micaiah wouldn't be bought out.
Amen.
He didn't sell. He just did what was right. And he came out there and said, God's going to put a lion spirit in the prophets. Here's Jehoshaphat sitting there, a man that feared God, a king. He was lined up with this guy, Ahab. Ahab's wife was back there. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. We're going to get wealthy, more wealth. They were lying. And the Bible says this, and Micaiah says, now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lion's spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek. He walked up and went, shut up. And said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And I'm sure they all laughed. Everybody laughed when he said, hey, which way went the spirit? Whap! That's what they did to Jesus. They smacked Jesus like that. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on the day when thou shalt go in an inner chamber to hide thyself. And then the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Josiah, Joash, the king of Sun, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in a prison, feed him with bread of affliction, with water of affliction, till I return in peace. And look what Micaiah says. Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, hearken, all ye people. Micaiah looked at the people and said, listen now, listen. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went to Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab listened to Micaiah. You know why? He changed his clothes from being a king to just a regular person. He figured, let Jehoshaphat take the heat. Let him die. That's the way the world is. That's the way lost people are.
Amen.
They'll want to see you die, not me.
Yeah.
You. And Jehoshaphat was wearing his kingly clothes, and the Bible says they went after Jehoshaphat, and he was running. And they said, that's not the king of Israel. So they didn't pursue him. And then the Bible, look at here. Look at this. This is not even the message. I haven't even got to the message yet. It's already 10 after. God, have mercy. I haven't even got to it. Look at this. And it says, the king of Israel, verse 29, said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself. I will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in as a soldier and like in the battle, and you just put on the kingly robe. He wanted everybody to think he was the king so he'd get killed. God protected him. Even though he made this alliance with him, he was still a righteous man. God protected him. But it cost him something. It cost him thousands of his troops. They died. When you make a league with the lost people and you hang around with them, and I'm not saying I got lost family friends and everything. I want to see them saved, but I don't go out with them. I don't do that. I don't hang around. I wouldn't even let my kids go out with them. I didn't want judgment fall on them if it's going to fall on them. I didn't want it to fall on my family. It came to pass, verse 31. Now, verse 30. And the king of Israel had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with the small or great, save only with the king of Israel. He said, I don't care. Don't fight with anybody, but concentrate on getting the king. If you get the king, you get the head, you get the rest of the body. Kill him. So all the Syrians, they go after Jehoshaphat. And it's a miracle God protected him. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. He was going, Lord, help! Why? Because the whole army moved in to surround him, to kill him. And it says, and he cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And it came to pass that when the captain of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a sword. Now, look at this. If God wants to get you, if God wants to take somebody out, he can. Look what it says. And it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that, and look at verse 33, and a certain man drew a sword, a bow, and adventure, and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore, he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased in that day. And howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening. And about the time of the sun goeth down, he died. What happened was the soldier was standing up there with their bow and arrow. Poof, and all of a sudden, he's riding along, and the arrow goes right, pow, right in there between the harness and gets him. He was trying to escape death, but God said, you're going to die. Micaiah said, you're going to die. Now, what I want to get to is chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, in the Bible, he's a great man. He's a great man. He's rebuked by the Lord. He's rebuked by the prophets. But look at this. And it came to pass, it always comes to pass. Remember, write that down. It always comes to pass. It never comes to stay. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, these are two enemies of Israel. These were Lot's children. They were the ones that he had incest with his own daughters and committed incest. And their children, she had children, and those two guys grew up, had families, and them families end up hating Israel, fighting against Israel. I'm telling you, man, you watch, you look at ancestry. You look at ancestry. I'm really big on this thing. You look at ancestry, you pass down to your children's children the way you are, the way you live. They always say, well, he was a drunk, his father was a drunk, and his grandfather being a drunk, and it ain't gonna change. Yep. Or he was a pervert, his father was a pervert, his grandfather was a pervert, they ain't gonna change. Yep. You pass down. But what breaks the chain is Jesus Christ. God's, Jesus Christ is able to break that chain of the family. I remember after I got saved, I said, God, our family is a mess. God, our family's wicked. My brother's got life in prison. My brother that got killed was trying to tell us about Jesus Christ. We didn't want to hear it. Well, God was loud. When I got saved and my mom got saved, my dad got saved, my family got saved, God broke that chain. And when Christians say, I'm going to live the way I want to live, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to tell you something, you're passing something down, and you're going to pass down suffering to your family. Amen. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to go that way. You can, man, you can make a difference. You can break that chain. You can, man, you can say, I'm going to stand for God no matter what. I'm going to stand for the Lord. I'm going to do what's right. Come hell or high water, the right road comes out the right place. Amen. Jehoshaphat, he ends up, look what the Bible says. And the children of Ammon and with them, other besides Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, and then he goes on, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. That's a good thing. I pray for my family. I pray for my children. I pray for this church. God put the fear of God in us. Give us a tender heart. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Look what the Bible says. You know, fear is a great motivator. Yep. Love is one of the greatest motivators. But fear is second to love. Fear. The fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. And you pray for your children. Put the fear of God in them. Give them a tender heart. Help them to love you. Fear is a good motivator. Why? Fear God. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And look what the Bible says. And Jehoshaphat feared. He had a great army. He lost thousands in that army with Ahab. But he's, man, they lost their shirt. But man, I tell you what, when he hears about this group coming, he goes, oh God. Look what he says. He didn't go to Ahab and say, will you help me out? Or go to his son. He ends up making allegiance with his son, but he changed that because the prophets told him he was wrong. He kept trying to make that allegiance with him. Then there came some of Jehoshaphat saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of the side of Assyria. And behold, they, and so on. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now, folks, I could preach a message on fasting. If you're going through some trouble, you got some hard things coming in your life, fast! Say, God, I'm not going to eat nothing. I'm praying. I want you to do something. Jesus said, this kind coming by prayer and fasting. Talk about the hard things in your life. You got something you're going through hard? Fast and pray. Lord, I'm going to answer. I want you to do something. Fast and pray. And Christians don't fast and pray anymore. And Jehoshaphat feared. And it says, Jehoshaphat and Judah gathered themselves together to seek the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God, this guy lifts up his voice and Jehoshaphat started facing this problem. Instead of running to somebody else and asking somebody else to help him out, he started facing it. Most Christians don't want to face their problems. They want to run from it. You want to run from your problems, and you want to try to drug yourself out or drink yourself and silly and all kinds of crazy stuff. You won't face your problems. And I'm going to tell you something. If you face your problems with God on your side, you're a winner. Amen. Amen. Most people won't face their problems. Jehoshaphat, he runs straight into it and says, I ain't going to run no more. I ain't going to fool around no more. This is going to be God, and it's going to be God to do the deliverance. And he put his trust in God. Look what he says. He started praying. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven, and rulest not over all the kings of the heathen? In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, which didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, And if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand in this house, and it says, in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear us and help, hear and help. Now, behold, the children of Ammon, he names it. He puts it out there. I mean, he starts telling, man, this problem we've got, God. And the best thing you can do, I'm going to tell you something, the best way things you can face your problems is start praying. God, do something. And wait on him. Wait on him. Because God gets glory when you trust him and he brings you through it. And you can go, Lord, you did it. Thank you, Lord. You did it. God wants you to have the victory. The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It'll build your faith. And he says, if when evil cometh upon us, and the sword, judgment, pestilence, and some famine, and look down verse 10, and now behold the children of Ammon and Judah, Moab, and the sons of Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they rewarded us to come to cast out us out of the possession which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company, he says, that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He said, God, we don't know what to do. Are you in that situation? Are you in a situation you don't know what to do? Fast and pray. God, we don't know what to do. He didn't run from it. He didn't call somebody up and say, hey, I'll send you some gold. I'll send a servant down there, send us some gold. Come and help us. He said, God, our help is in thee. Yeah. When you can learn and trust God to the point where you know your help cometh from him and him alone, rather than getting on the phone, getting on Facebook, everybody wants to post on Facebook. I want to post what I feel and what I'm going through and all this stuff. When you know your help coming from God. I don't want people to feel sorry for me.
Amen.
I don't want people to think, I've said this before, if I'm going through something, I ain't going to tell you. I'm going to tell him.
Yeah.
But some people like to tell everybody what they're going through. Look what the Bible says. Verse 14, the answer comes. And it says, Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Joel, and it says the son of Nathaniah, all these Nias, Levite of the son of Asaph, and it says, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. You know what they did? They prayed. This is crazy. They prayed. He prayed out loud in front of thousands of people. And then they stood there. After he finished praying, he waited for an answer. The Lord said, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Call upon me. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. I wanted to know there's a God in heaven. I wanted to know he answers prayer. I didn't want to rely on somebody else. I wanted to know myself.
Amen.
And the way you get to know it, you've got a fellowship with him. So what are you trying to encourage us to do? I'm trying to encourage you to put your trust in him. Stop putting your trust in you. Stop putting your trust in everybody else. Spend some time in prayer. Say, Lord, I know you're able. You're not Cain. You're able. And look what happens. They stand there. Say, how long did they stand there? I don't think very long. The answer came. Well, I tell you what, don't you like it when the answer of prayer comes?
Amen.
You know, the Bible tells us that when we pray, in the book of Daniel, you read Daniel, our prayers goes up through the atmosphere, through the hemisphere. It goes all the way up there to the throne of God, and God hears it, and then he sends the angel back down with the answer. Daniel chapter 10. He sends the answer back. And I said this, God answers prayer. Yes, no, not now. But we have to wait. Most of the time we go, God, I pray, God, you do something about this. God, please do something. Then we just go do what we want to do. Yeah. We don't even wait for an answer. Yeah. Man, where's the trust in God at? I like what this guy does. Man, he stirs me up. It makes me want to fight on. Face 2017. I'm going to fight on. Some of y'all planning on quitting. I ain't planning on quitting. Amen. You already made arrangements. I ain't making no arrangements. I'm going to fight on. Amen. So who are you going to fight? The world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah.
That's our enemy. Who's your enemy? It ain't brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Fight the real enemy, man. Get in the real battle. Quit playing games like school children. Get in the real battle. I like what he says. Verse 15. Just preaching, man. I'm preaching. If it helps you, hey, amen. I want it to help you. I want it to help you. Stir you up. You know, I like what the football players, they do before they're going to play today. And I can see them all get in the ring. They go, come on, this is our house. They can't come in here and do this to us. I mean, they start stirring each other up.
Amen.
That's what preaching does.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody, since somebody doesn't catch the ball, they go, come on, man, get your head in the game.
Hey. Yeah.
Get your head in the game, man. They said, this is not really a game. This is a real thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. The Bible says, and he hearkened. Hearken ye all, Judah. Here comes the answer. He says, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. The prophet turns around and says, you too, king. And if this guy wasn't a real prophet, he was a dead man. This guy opens his mouth and said, God's speaking through me. If God wasn't, he's a dead man. They killed this dude. Look what it says. Be not afraid. Need to underline that. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid of this and dismayed by reason of this great multitude. I love to underline this phrase, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
The battle's not yours, but God's. There's some battles that you and I got to fight. God will go with you. And the battle's his, because he's going to have to be the one to be the victor. But he will be this the instrument he can use. We're the instruments. He wants to use us for the victory. Look at this. Tomorrow, he says, tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up the cliff of Ziph, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. And it says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah, Jerusalem. Fear not, for be not dismayed, for tomorrow out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Judah. This is life or death situation, folks. Life or death. He says, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of Kohath and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. That's why I like to sing loud. Most churches don't like it loud. They want it to be a morgue. I like it loud. They were singing loud. They started praying. You say, what is heaven going to be? Heaven's going to be loud with praise. It says, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Topeka. Topeka, Kansas? No. Dorothy, are you there? No. And it says, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. I got to finish this turn. And it says, hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. and that they should praise the beauty of holiness.
Yeah.
So they went out before the army. That's where they get it from, the Bible right here. The Scottish people, they called them the Germans called them the devils from hell. The Scottish would let you know, we're coming.
Amen.
You better get ready, because we're coming, and we're going to whip your butt. Then the bagpipes will start playing. The Germans go, oh, good Lord. Shoot them down. That's why in the army they had a guy carrying a flag. They had the trumpeter. They were valuable. He appointed singers. You know what he did? He said, you all go out in the front. Volunteer singing in the front lines. And the Lord already told him, you ain't going to do the battle. I'm going to do it. Look at here. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers on the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon and Moab and against Seir, and, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against and so on. So God bless this man. I got to quit. God bless this king because he put his confidence and his trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Where's your confidence at this morning?
Yeah.
Where's your trust at? Are you going to trust him?
Amen.
I tell you what, when I start feeling low, the best remedy I could have is talk to the Lord and sing.
Yep. Amen.
Why? If you're in the middle of a battle, learn some Christian songs. Don't get in your car and listen to WDSD and the country music and everybody's wearing their tight pants and shaking their hips and doing all the crazy, stupid stuff. And you said, that makes me feel good. Makes the flesh feel good.
Right.
Makes God sick.
Amen.
You start saying this to him.
Amen.
When I first got saved, I used to say, man, that music in church used to be boring. I used to try to take some of the oldies, man, and put the words of Jesus to it, you know. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I try to change all that, but I said, that ain't right. It says they worship the beauty of his holiness. It's pure. You find a lot of country singers, they're Christians. They're raised in church, and they're backslidden. They say, look all the money they got, but they ain't happy at all. That's why you go through divorce after divorce after divorce after divorce and unhappiness and all that crazy stuff because they ain't right with God. I got to quit. This night, I didn't get to the message. God have mercy. My Father, thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for being so strong and so great. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not putting our trust in thee. Forgive us.